back in the day, it used to be like your answering machine message and then like beep and then you leave a message. No, now when you call, it's like, please leave your message after the beep. If you'd like to leave a callback number, press 1. If you'd like to have a message displayed on the front of the phone, press 6. If not, press 1 or wait for the beep. Our society just doesn't trust us to just leave a message after the beep. How fucked up is that?
What do they teach you to talk like this? And some Panama City sailor want a hump-hump bar? Or is this getaway day and your last shot at his whiskey? Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Dreams is my baby's daddy. He needs to get his ass home because my baby's crying. I don't know what to do. So if you hear from Drapes, man, can you please tell him to call?
He's gonna send you some money, huh?
He needs to send me some money.
Okay, this is an exclusive interview with Renee, the lost girlfriend of Droops that I've got her pregnant, and now she has a kid, and he doesn't pay his alimony.
He doesn't pay me shit. He owed me more than $2,000. I'm living on the streets, and he need to call me. He can reach me on a payphone.
That's fucked up.
This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation. Military threat. The flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims. And now they die. Chemical weapons. Carpet bombing. Deaths. Top FBI. Kill and injure children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline, sex, and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine, atomic bomb radiation experiments, unwitting test subjects, dangerous radiation, marijuana abuse, hooked on drugs, time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rocked by rape, rock. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Nazi war criminals. Cancer. Darkness. Murder. Caution. Terrorists. Castigation. Police conspiracy. Dramatic urban torture. Drunk driving. Hostage siege. Government shutdown. Collapses. Desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminal persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gang's rule. Criminal anti-government love triangle. Deeper and deeper into damage, even death. Anti-drug DEA. Worldwide ban. Time for us to bug out. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack. Killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames. Crash. Gunned down. Shooting death. Blood drops. Murderer. Desperate tragedy. Isn't he dead? Death penalty. Ransom note. Forbidding. Notorious. Overwhelming. Communist. Urban. Punishment. Low ethics. Extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline. Make it faster. Better. Cheaper. Health risk. Criminal. Murdering a man. tough diplomatic hell on Earth. Magnetic radiation, fraudulent assassins, mysterious murder, chemical terrorism, military targets, fatal crash, danger, the freak accident, no known survivors, wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb, emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage, notorious negative police brutality, fear, the hidden Nazis next door, Marxist rebels, serious murderer, accidents, problems, punitive damages. Like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS EV News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Stardate, August 20th, 2004.
Welcome, everybody, to Infonomicon Radio. This here is your buddy Droops and your buddy...
Obfuscated.
Obfuscated. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
I got a hemorrhoid, I think.
How do you think you have a hemorrhoid? Pretty much. Did you check?
Yeah. Not yet.
Okay, everybody.
Dude, that M&M got stuck on my ass.
Or a big tick.
That happens sometimes when you roll around.
I know.
You ever roll around naked in the woods?
Actually, I have.
And you get a tick in your ass?
Yeah.
Yeah, one time I got a water moccasin up there.
Did you put it there?
Let's move on.
Anyway, everybody might notice the audio quality is a little different with the show today.
Probably
and
worse.
That's because, worse or better, we're not sure yet. But that, y'all, is because we are using this program called Skype.
That's
correct.
We talked
about it last week, and we're actually recording on it this week. Unless we are not telling you this because we didn't work out and we had to record a whole new episode. And but as it stands right now, we're recording on Skype.
And as your technician, it's going fairly well.
Excellent, buddy. I believe that we are the first to use Skype. At least we figured it out on our own.
So this seems like we're being revolutionary.
Revolutionary. Infonomicon Revolution.
That's right. Infonomicon number 8.
Number 8, that is correct. This is number 8.
Okay.
And we have all kinds of stuff to talk about today.
No, we don't. Not really.
Well, I do.
Okay.
First of all, big news in the world of Infonomicon. No longer will you have to type out hackermedia.net/Infonomicon.
That is correct.
Now you just have to go to infonomicon.org.
That's right. We're that important now.
We are that important. They just gave us a site.
Because what happened was VeriSign emailed me this weekend, and they said, enjoy the fuck out of your show. And you know what? We noticed you don't have an actual web address. What's up with that? And they said, here you go. Here's a .org. We're giving it to you. And I said, I appreciate that. I really do. Bless you, Jesus.
VeriSign, such nice people.
They are. They get a bad rap. They get a bad rap, but they hooked me the fuck up, and they sent a hooker to my house. So I can't tell you what, when you got friends like that, who needs anybody else?
That's right. And we'd also like to thank Voodoo Hal over at mojonetworks.net for helping us with the web account. We got or the server space. I'm retarded. And go to mojonetworks.net. It's $50 a year. If you have your own domain name, and you get all kinds of good stuff, like a gig of space, unlimited bandwidth, it's really awesome, y'all.
And if you missed that, we'll put that up on the show notes.
Hell yeah, we're putting it up on the show notes.
Speaking of show notes, okay. We also want to pimp out, who else?
Jason Scott,
okay.
Again.
Go ahead.
Jason Scott has, over at textfiles.com, has actually listened to our show. And we believe that he's listened to it several times because he has come up with some damn thorough show notes. And there will be a link to that off the main Infonomicon page.
And they're not just regular show notes. They actually What I liked about them the most is they kept the humor in it. Also,
they did,
which I thought that was pretty cool of them. The man's got a sense of humor, which is also good. That comes very rarely. Okay, we're going on.
Okay.
Email. Email. I didn't get any email because no one emails me. So you check out what Droops has. Go ahead.
Well, I got some email from a fellow named Bankrupt. And initially, I thought it was some spam going to my Gmail. But since that's rare, I actually opened it. And sure enough, the guy's name is Bankrupt. And he got a little sneak preview of a little Infonomicon TV. And he said he's been using what we talked about for a while now. And he said that I actually did a nice job explaining it, how to set it up and its benefits. And he's going to help us torrent it when we actually release it to the world.
And it'll be up next week for the show. Next week it'll be up, and Droops will talk about what he did on there and explain a little bit better. A little bit more. He did actually a thorough job explaining it, but he'll explain it more on the show also.
Excellent, because that's what I like to do. Talk about stuff I've already talked about before.
Did you talk about this on the show before?
I talked about it on the TV show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You, the next time you can talk about it in depth. And, you know, and the fuck you.
Also, I got some email from our really awesome, excellent iPod about to be owned and friend, Pixel Fiend. And Pixel Fiend is helping us with a graphic for the show, and we appreciate it, buddy, and we can't wait to see what you have made.
Also, expect the iPod to be there. But by the middle or the beginning or the middle of next week, definitely by Wednesday.
I got an email from a friend of mine who I work with that actually listens to the show, and he actually got a Gmail account off of the Infonomicon website.
You gotta pay attention.
You gotta pay attention, y'all. Sometimes things just happen.
And we'll be doing that
to the
site.
I also got a phone call from a friend of mine who listens to the show, and he's working at some wildlife management area in Louisiana, and he's living in a trailer, and they just got a satellite internet connection. And he listened to it, and I just want to say, Head, thanks for listening to the show.
What's the speed on that?
I have no idea. He said it was really shitty, like slower than the dial-up they used to have.
Uh-huh.
And I said there's a little problem somewhere down the line if their satellite internet slower than dial-up.
Well, what's the cost on that?
State of Louisiana, I think, is paying for it.
No shit.
So I don't know. Yeah,
well, why don't they hook me up?
Keep paying your taxes.
Yeah. I'm glad somebody's getting internet connection off my ass. Also, we talked about Skype, and if you haven't listened to the last show, what Skype is it's based on P2P networks. So the bandwidth is not coming from the actual Skype networks. It's coming from everybody using it. So more people use it, the better sound quality we can get.
This is true. This is true.
Okay. And,
okay.
Did you find the website out? What's the Skype website so everybody can get on it?
Skype.com. It's going to be on the show notes.
Okay. Also, I want to say a mention about we were working out some projects right now on, you know, more activity on the show. We'd like to get some call-ins. So Skype allows, at least I think it does, allows a third party to come on and talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does? Okay, so we're going to be working on is being able to stream the show live, and when you listen to it live, being able to call in and talk about the topics we're talking about and just give your opinion on how things are going. So that should be happening within the next, either next week or the next 2 weeks.
Excellent.
Okay, and is that all the email you had?
That's all the email I had, buddy.
Okay, let me see what else we have.
Oh, your mom sent me something.
Oh, really? She seen that, send that pumpkin pie? You should look a little deeper.
Yeah.
You might find something else in there.
Well, this past week, y'all, something exciting happened to me.
Don't care.
I went on a date.
Oh, really?
With this fella named Obfuscated.
Ah!
I met him in the Best Buy parking lot in Baton Rouge. I took him out to eat. I took him out for some coffee. He didn't give me any head. He just gave me some cigarettes. So if you're looking for a shitty date, Office Gated is there for you.
You know what? The hookers don't complain about the cigarettes. Only you do. And I'm really getting tired
of this
shit. Oh,
they were good cigarettes, and I appreciated it.
Oh, man. Complaints, complaints, complaints. You should be one of our listeners. You should be one of our listeners.
Which one would that be?
Yeah, we could list them. You know, it's weird about it. We get more complaints about the show than we do compliments.
This is true.
So send an email. You know, don't complain on forums about us. Just send us emails telling how much you hate us so we can tell everybody about it.
All right. What is your email address, my friend?
Well, it's going to be changing soon, so I'll go ahead and give up my current one, which is lab5ae@gmail.com.
And mine is droops@gmail.com. And I think that's all the housekeeping that we have. Am I correct?
That's correct.
All right, buddy. Start the show.
Okay, man. It seems like 80% of Wi-Fi networks are still insecure. Oh, excuse me. That's what all the really articles say. It just says 80% of Wi-Fi networks are still insecure, which it seems like that would be like a depressing news. You know, people are not securing their networks, but I say that's good. You know, how are we supposed to war drive if people's got, like, their shit secured? So keep your shit open so we can get the internet. Thank you.
Excellent. I actually use war driving a lot. I have most of Oxford, Mississippi done. And when I'm not studying at school or doing things important, I can just park my truck outside somebody's apartment and use their internet to check my email or do some schoolwork where I'm just free to sit and relax.
Unfortunately,
and,
I don't have
war driving's actually been really helpful for me.
Unfortunately, I don't have a laptop, so I can't. I'm not, you know, as cool as you are.
Oh, I got you a laptop, buddy. It's got a Windows 3.1 on it.
No shit. That's like,
yeah.
Is that like Leet?
It was Leet in like, I don't know, 94.
Okay, man. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, well, big news for me, y'all, because I'm the business major guy. Google IPO coming through. After weeks of expectation that the Google IPO would raise shares as high as $135 a share. Remember, that's with only if you buy 5 shares or more. The company officially set a price that more individual investors could stomach. Now, stock's expensive, and $135 a share and $95 a share isn't really much difference unless you're buying thousands of shares or 10 shares, really.
It ended today at 100, just a side note there.
What was it today?
It ended today at 100.
It ended today at 100.
Right. It made both,
well, that's really good.
It made both of the guys $40 million apiece.
That's really cool.
$40 million apiece. Where are they both
in one
from?
Day.
Stanford? Yeah, one day, just one
yes.
day. There's okay, Stanford graduates, okay.
Everybody needs to go to the Google website and look at how they actually set up Google back in the day. It kind of looks like my computer room and OfficeGator's computer room right now, with computers and wires and shit just kind of haphazardly strung out everywhere.
If anybody's ever seen the movie Pi, you'll understand how my room looks right now.
Yeah, never seen that one, buddy.
Okay, because you're not cool.
Now, something a little bit about IPO information is IPO stands for Initial Public Offering, and it's when you go live with your shares of stock. And IPOs often trade below their offering price within 6 months or a year after the launch, and they generally trail the market the first few years. So if most of the tech market goes up 5-6 points, IPOs are usually 2-3 points. Little trailing. Anyway, they don't make as much money for their investors. You kind of have to hold on to stock if you really want to make money in it.
Right. It's really dangerous to do short-term stocks.
Yeah. Unless you have insider information, but then you're Martha Stewart.
Exactly. It's really hard to make any money like that. Statistics have shown that that stocks in the long run, you're always going to make a profit. Stocks in the long run. So if you ever want to get stocks, you just make sure you have a diversified portfolio and keep it diversified. And almost always at the end, I think it's 30-year run, you'll always make mm-hmm. money.
Yes.
That's from listening to too much AM radio.
AM radio, baby. I read somewhere AM radio causes cancer.
That's what's wrong with me. Don't you understand that? I've got a
tumor. Anyway,
a tumor.
I've got three IPOs that were actually worth buying when they went public. In March 13, 1986, MSFT, or as most of us know it, as Microsoft, went live with... Now, Google is $100 at close today a share. Microsoft went live at 7 cents a share. 6 months later, it had risen to 9 cents a share. Now, the price today, if you'd have bought one of these shares, adjusting for stock splits, things like that, is $27.46. So that's a really damn good investment. It's a 20-year investment almost. But that's a really good return on your investment.
Well, still, 7 cents was still
cheap.
eBay went
live.
7 cents was still cheap back in the 80s anyway.
Yeah.
So you could have
eBay went live in 98 for $1.50 a share. And today, it's $79.91 a share. And JetBlue Airways actually went live in 2002.
Go back to eBay?
Yes, sir.
It started at how much?
$1.50.
And what did it end at?
Today, it's $79.91.
Is that adjusted?
Yeah.
So you would have done better buying eBay than you did Microsoft.
That's right.
Interesting.
Microsoft hasn't done really well with paying back their investors. They've been hoarding cash.
Correct.
And eBay is more of a standard company where they give a dividend or return
okay.
to their investors.
I just want to make that clear. I was kind of interested about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, JetBlue Airways went live in 2002 for $12 a share. And, you know, 2 years later, they're at $25 a share, so they've more than doubled.
And they haven't had any crashes yet.
JetBlue is one of the few airline companies that's actually still turning a profit.
Yeah, I was reading about that recently.
And they're an offshoot of Delta, I believe.
Oh, they're owned by Delta?
I believe.
Or is it
maybe offshoot? I'm just wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I say it's adjusted for stock splits, let's say... Infonomicon TV, or radio, whatever we are, issued 10 shares of stock today. And we started turning a lot of profit, and more people wanted to buy our stock. We could either issue 10 more shares, which would kind of piss off the people that bought the original 10, because if Obfuscated had six of them and he had a controlling majority, and then we issued 10 more and I got those 10, then I would have the majority without him having any say-so. So companies don't like to do that because it pisses off their investors and it makes people not want to invest in them. But to make more stock, they'll just split it. So those 10 that we went out would then become 20 or become 30. And people will have all these shares of stock and they'll sell some of them and keep what they... Most people keep what they initially bought and it gets more stock out in the world.
Okay.
Anyway, that's your little business lesson for the day, everybody.
Okay.
Now, Google filed this IPO on the NASDAQ. They started to file it on July 13th, and it's taken until today for all this go through. It usually doesn't take that long, but they didn't really do well. There's a little hush period that's kind of an outdated thing where they can't talk about the IPO to people because they don't. It's a way of getting insider training, mainly. And they don't want people discussing all this, and they gave away a bunch of shares that they... weren't allowed to do by the rules. But they've actually got it out now, and they've made themselves a lot of money today. And they should be really proud of themselves because they kind of a grassroots kind of started on their company.
So is Microsoft.
All right, buddy. I'm done with Google.
So is Microsoft. Grassroots.
Yeah, but I hate those fuckers.
Okay, man. Apple recalls PowerPoke batteries. I don't like Apple, so this is kind of a funny story to me. Apple.
Fuck you, man. I love Apple.
Fuck an Apple in the ass. Apple Computer this week launched a voluntary worldwide 15-inch PowerBook G4 battery exchange program to deal with 28,000 potential faulty units. An internal short of the batteries can cause them to overheat, posing a fire hazard. The units were made by LG Gym in South Korea. Apple's replacing the batteries at no charge. So you're sitting at a cafe, right, pretending like you're a Sophisto, drinking your fucking latte, and you got a PowerBook on your lap, right? And you catch on fucking fire. How fucking funny is that? Seriously, think about that. You're just sitting there. All of a sudden, the guy next to you is like, "Ah!" I tell you what, man.
You know, if he had like the little funny mustache and the black shirt, I might laugh.
I tell you what. Anybody listening to this show that has Affirmative Power book, don't tell them about this. Let them catch on fire, and I want you to take a picture of it. And okay, if you get a picture of this, we'll give you a, like, we'll make up a prize for just for you. I want a picture of somebody on fucking fire hole trying to save their laptop.
Would you try to save your laptop if it was on fire? Would you burn yourself?
People do some stupid shit when things like that happen. You'd be surprised. It's like you heard
actually just recently. Go ahead.
You've heard all your life about drop, stop, and roll, right?
Yeah.
When you catch on fire, but there's still people.
I thought it was stop, drop, and then roll.
Fuck it. You have to roll anyway. But you see people on fire. What they try to do is they try to punch themselves in the head. They're trying to get rid of the pain really quick. So they start punching themselves. It's really comical. Not that I wish people would catch on fire. No, I really do. I'm a sick fuck.
Yeah.
But like I said, you get a picture of that, send it to us. And I don't know what I'll do. I'll hook you up big time.
He'll give you a burned out iPod. Speaking of iPods, I just got one the other day for my birthday.
Aren't you so
which,
cool?
As we forgot to tell at the beginning of the show, today is actually my birthday that we're recording the show.
Yay!
My fiance is laying in our bed watching a movie on the television, and I'm talking to some fucking dude on the phone recording a radio show.
You know what? She couldn't give two shits about you doing being on the radio, huh?
Oh, she's my favorite groupie.
You think so?
Yeah, she's the only one that kisses me.
I'll kiss you. To keep you on the show, I will. I'm a whore.
And I got no loving after I bought you dinner.
Hey, dude, if you want a blowjob, you got to ask me. I'm not, I just don't come out and give them away.
You're not an offerer?
No, my IPOs are steep.
All right.
Okay, man.
XP... Microsoft has released Service Pack 2 for XP. Quote of the week, y'all, is by Mr. Murchison. He works for Microsoft, and he says, Microsoft has told companies it's important to test the upgrade before deploying it throughout their networks. That's awesome. This is true. This is really, really true. I've had a lot of people come into the store because stuff doesn't work with Service Pack 2. The Avon website... is no longer reachable for some reason when you install Service Pack 2.
And how did you find this out?
Because the lady came in because she can't buy her Avon anymore.
Did you test this out on multiple systems or just that one?
I haven't installed Service Pack 2 at my house yet. I just haven't had the time. But as soon as we got it off of there, the Avon website pulls straight up.
Right. I don't know if I have an article about it just yet, but I know they already found a couple of vulnerabilities.
Oh, yes. I read this also. And Walter Mossberg, if y'all ever watched The Screensavers, y'all have heard Leo Laporte talk about this guy. He's the technological writer for the Wall Street Journal. This guy has his head screwed on very well. He wrote this excellent article entitled Free Security Update to Windows XP Has Value But Falls Short. Microsoft has paid so little attention to security over the years that consumers who use Windows have been forced to spend more and more of their time and money fending off viruses, hackers, spyware, and spam. Now, I don't like the hackers thing, but he says it. Now, for this reason, the burden of using a Windows computer has grown immeasurably. Now, under pressure from its customers and critics, the software giant is making a move forward, undoing the damage. Over the next few weeks, Microsoft is rolling out a major free security update to Windows XP. It's called Service Pack 2, or simply SP2. But SP2 falls way short of what Microsoft could have done to fix the miserable state of security in Windows. While the update will make it harder for malicious software to enter your PC, Service Pack 2 doesn't detect or remove viruses, spyware, or spam. I'm kind of glad it doesn't remove spyware and spam, because...
Windows couldn't be able to tell the difference in the first place.
That's a third-party kind of job.
Right, and Windows wouldn't be able to tell the difference anyway. Like, what the fuck do they know?
Yeah.
They should be getting rid of not their own spyware, but others.
addition to under the hood changes, Service Pack 2 turns on the automatic update feature in Windows, which allows Microsoft to transmit and install future patches without user intervention. The firewall, which is designed to shield the PC from attacks over the internet, is now turned on default. It has a few new features, including one that warns you if a program running on your PC is seeking to open a port, which is a conduit to the internet, so it can receive incoming data. But the new firewall lacks a crucial component. It doesn't prevent rogue programs already on your PC from using the internet to make outbound data transfers, such as the secret reports that spyware programs make on your activities, or instructions that Trojan horse programs send out to attack other computers. Also, Microsoft has made it easy for other software programs to turn off the new firewall. This was done so that competing firewalls like Zone Alarm could turn off the Windows firewall during installation to avoid having duplicate firewalls running. But Microsoft concedes that hackers can use the technique to shut down the firewall as well. Walter Mossberg and most of us would recommend buying or sticking with a superior third-party firewall. Now, the Security Center is something that's going to pop up that's new, and it can determine whether your firewall, your automatic update settings, and your antivirus programs are all on or off. It doesn't actually add a layer of protection to your PC. It's just an information device. It isn't 100% right now. I've had some trouble with it picking up that Norton was actually running and updated and this, that, and the other. The changes to Internet Explorer browser include a long overdue pop-up ad blocker. Wonder where they got that idea from, which many other browsers now include, and additional warnings and controls on software downloads, so users will think twice about installing programs that might be malicious. An information bar at the top of the browser screen warns about downloads and notes that pop-ups have been blocked. Microsoft still hasn't devised a quick, easy way to thoroughly erase your browsing tracks in Explorer, so if you're looking at porn, you probably don't want to be using an Internet Explorer. And hasn't added an anti-spam feature to Outlook Express. The company says Service Pack 2 was all about security, and these things weren't viewed as core security features, but somehow it still managed to use this security update to jam an unsolicited new favorites link in the browser, one that points to a Microsoft site where it wants to sell you software and hardware. Are you still there?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks for being quiet while I was reading.
I try my best. The thing about that is I wouldn't suggest download Service Pack 2 just yet. I don't think I am. Not right now, because I have no problems whatsoever. Never had a virus, never had anything wrong.
I'm not doing anything to Jen's computer right now.
Also, I got an article along those same lines. It's pretty interesting since you brought that up.
Okay.
It says, according to researchers, an unpatched Windows PC connected to the internet would last for only 20 minutes before it's compromised by malware on average. That figure is down, that figure is down from around 40 minutes, the group's estimated in 2003. That's pretty fucked up. I guess I've never had a problem. I guess if soon as you, they also noted later in the article that 20 minutes is not even long enough to download the fucking all the stuff you need to block all that shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've never had a problem. If you have your firewalls up and you have your antivirus up, that's really, you know, unless you're going on your websites clicking away like a fucking idiot. You know,
you install that fucking Sasser patch as soon as you fucking can.
Correct. Yeah, just get your updates, and I don't know. I'm kind of leery about Service Pack 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to download it. I've heard too much shit about it so far, so I'm going to wait.
I installed a computer today at the mall in Tupelo for the mall office, and it's not even going to be connected to the internet. The first thing I did after I turned that bastard on was I installed the Sasser patch from my little thumb drive.
Right.
That thing, because they wouldn't have time and they wouldn't know the first damn thing about it, and they'd be calling me saying, oh, my computer's going to shut down in 60 seconds, and it keeps doing that. I don't know why. That is like the number one idiot complaint right now.
What is an idiot complaint?
It's when you have a question that you just can't get answered, when you could just type into Google and the first page will give you 9 relevant links to answer your damn question.
Aren't you surprised how many people do not know how to use Google?
I had a high school kid come in the other day. He wanted an iPod at the store, and he seemed very knowledgeable about it. And we learned something, because he took his fourth generation iPod and plugged it in the second generation iPod stuff at his friend's house, and it quit working for him. And it was showing a folder with an exclamation point. And he brought it in the store and was like, this thing's broken. And he was so worried that he was going to have to send his precious iPod off to Apple. And I typed in Google, folder with exclamation point. And the first link that pulled up explained what was wrong and how to fix it.
And how long did it take you to fix it?
I had to go download the little iPod updater, but it was about a five-minute fix. And
no
now
shit.
The thing's working great.
No shit, little prick.
Folder with exclamation point.
Maybe it means it's serious. Okay, man, go ahead.
All right, our next article we have here today is about Verizon. Verizon is among the four Bell phone giants that all by themselves has decided that the time is right to install fiber directly into homes. When I say fiber, I mean fiber optics. Now, this has been tried many, many times before. There's been towns that were a test market for this. I was learning about my telecommunications class, where they tried to put fat bandwidth pipes at the time into people's homes. And the reason it has failed all these other times isn't because of the technology being so damn expensive, this, that, and the other. It's content going down that line. Well, like when they installed cable in everyone's home 20 years ago, there weren't that many cable channels that had any damn content. Now there's a lot more that have no content, but people feel that they have to have cable. Anyway, this move, putting fiber into people's houses, has been discussed for decades. And they're about to spend $2.5 billion to run this fiber past more than 3 million homes by the end of next year, which is going to make it one of the largest capital expenditures in the company's budget. Now, it's only going to run past your house. It's not going to your house. If you subscribe to the fancy service, they'll run fiber optics straight into your home from this main line. Fiber optics isn't cheap. Fiber optics is a pain in the ass to work with. You have to have specialized equipment.
Fucking pain in the ass to split.
Yeah. Like, you can't just splice it like you can, like, copper wire. Fiber optic, it's glass.
You have to fuse it.
Break a piece of glass and make it straight. Because fiber optics requires light going through there.
Yeah. It requires you to fuse it together.
Yeah. See, fusing it together isn't really the best way of doing it. Well, it is one of the best ways to do it, but it's not as perfect if it was just straight. Because when you fuse glass together, there's going to be a little bubble. It's going to be a little wavy, and that's going to screw up the connection through the fiber. So they're paying a lot of damn money to do all this. I was reading about fiber the other day, and these major lines that go across the nation, they can only be broken and fused back together a certain number of times before they have to dig up the whole fucking wire and replace it. That is insane to me. But
fiber optics is
pretty damn cool.
They have to do these kind of tests to test the technology and test the usage of it. And it happens. It happens, to every technology.
Yeah. When phones were originally installed, they weren't on a mesh network like they are now. It was a direct line network. So
right.
If there were three people on the phone, each one had a line directly into the next guy's house.
Right, because if there's pictures on the net, I've seen it before, of the skyline in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you looked up, the sky was totally black because there's just wires everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I forget what the topology is that. That's, if I wanted to talk to, each body's phone was connected to each other's.
Yes.
Because, say we had five people. Each five person would be connected to each other five people.
And every time another person came on, to make it six, that'd be, seven new lines you'd have to install.
Exactly. So if you looked up at the sky, if you was on the ground floor, it was just wires everywhere. So, and I've seen pictures of that. It's pretty interesting pics.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to come down this big fat pipe?
Porn?
Porn. They're going to have movies. They're going to have television. They're going to have a small screen in the upper corner of your computer at work containing a live video of your child playing at home.
Are they thinking about getting rid of a cable with this? Are they going to run cable through it also?
Television? If it were me, I would want to do that.
you know, might as well. You get if you
just
using,
have one wire coming into your house.
If you're using that fat bandwidth, I don't know what's the speed of fiber.
It doesn't say. It just says 20 times faster than DSL and 6 times faster than cable TV.
Right. I guess you can get rid of cable.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to.
Now, something I thought was really funny, y'all. Verizon is trying to make sure that this network is future-proof. And that's a quote by some fella.
Future-proof?
And future-proof is impossible.
Term of the week. That's a term of the week.
Future-proof. Like, when they were still discovering radio spectrums, they found the highest one that they thought they were ever going to find, and they called it high frequency, HF. And then whenever they came up with another one, they had to keep coming up with a better name, like very high frequency, VHF, or UHF, ultra high frequency. Calling something future-proof or saying that it's top of the line in the name is really, really silly.
It's impossible.
Because it's going to be improved on.
It's impossible. Totally
That's
impossible.
How things go. All right, buddy. Your turn.
Okay, man. The Nielsen ratings, the net ratings, they also Nielsen ratings that do the television ratings. They also do net ratings, of course. It's reporting that broadband connections for the first time reached 51% in America online population during the month of July, as compared to 38% last July. Well, I don't get this article. I guess it's like, are people still using fucking dial-up?
Oh yeah, buddy. Old people.
Well, I just don't understand that. I really don't. They're willing to pay $20 a month. Like, I remember paying $20 a month for dial-up, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm paying $39.95 right now for cable. It's only a $10 difference. $20 difference.
I actually set up computers for a family down the street, and they were on dial-up, and they were paying about $20 a month for it. And they had a second line in their house for it, and they were paying about $20 a month. I got them set up on Bell South's DSL Lite. They have a high-speed connection, and it's cheaper than it was with the dial-up.
Yeah, I just don't understand. 51% of internet users are using broadband.
Now, a lot of this is people in the rural areas.
Yeah, but how many rural areas are there?
Have you been to Mississippi?
Yes, I have. But the thing about it is, how many rural areas are there? There's more people living in suburban areas than there are rural.
This is true.
So why aren't you on broadband? I just don't get that. If you're still on broadband, it's and if you don't have a legitimate reason for not being on broadband, then that's silly.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
This is completely silly. Unfortunately, the United States is a lot harder to wire for broadband than a small country like, not really small, but Japan's a lot smaller than America.
Right.
And their population is a lot more concentrated than ours.
Correct.
So when you install, 10 miles of line that you can install broadband on, in Japan you can get 1,000 customers, where in America you can get like 100. That's just numbers I pulled out of my ass.
Yeah, but don't take us as fact.
Don't take those as fact, but that's just an example.
Right. I just don't get it. If you're still on...
I don't get it either.
If you don't have
like,
a reason
I live
for
in
being
town
on,
just so I can get high-speed internet.
Is that why you picked the real estate?
Yeah, that's why we picked where we live.
Did you ask a real estate agent this?
No, we knew that we already previously knew.
We would like to live in a broadband community.
And that's seriously it. Like, we have dogs. We had to have a big yard. We found a lot that had, that's almost 3 acres, and we're in town. We have internet.
You cut
we
the grass?
We both hate living in town. We wish we lived in the country, but we
you
have to have
3 acres? Do you cut the grass?
Yeah, it's mostly wooded.
So you don't have to cut the grass?
Not as much.
Interesting. Okay, go ahead,
yeah,
man.
Buddy. Is it me?
No, it's you.
Okay. Now, we've all heard of people with jobs, and obviously at most of these office jobs, there's email. And as we all know,
you don't say.
People are going to use this email to talk to their friends,
no.
Their jokes. And then all of a sudden, one of these days, these people are going to find out that their boss is listening to them on the email, their boss is listening to them on the telephone, and they freak out. Now, there's law that says your employer can't listen to your telephone conversations unless they tell you that they're gonna. And in California, because of Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was actually on our show.
Girly man.
Girly man himself, and the state senate, because they voted on this. They now require employers to inform workers in writing if email and other internet activities are going to be monitored. That's really, really cool.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
It's fucking ridiculous. If you go to work at some place, you should just know that they're monitoring you for work performance.
They're still going to monitor you. Now they just have to tell you.
So what? Like, why do they have to tell me?
Because there's a lot of idiots out there that are still on dial-up, buddy.
What's that going to... Anyway, I don't think they should... So what? They have to print a couple more sentences out for you to sign? I don't see the point in it. If you're at work and you're fucking around, obviously, you're going to get fired.
I hope not, because we had a pretty damn good rubber band war today. I've got a welt. Looks like a fucking paintball shot me.
But you see where I'm coming from, right? If they own the place, they own the place of business, they're paying you your paycheck, and you're on the net searching at, you know, like, funny jokes, or you're searching E-Bomb's World, you're searching spunkmouth.com, what the fuck do you expect? And, of course, they're probably going to be monitoring your phone usage. I worked at a bunch of places where they monitor phone usage to make sure we weren't cursing out customers, which I got written up a few times about.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I wanted to tell a lady today at work that she needed to take her computer that she had and just bring it into the store and leave it with us because she wasn't smart enough to have it.
She sucks at the internet, right?
She sucks at life. She was trying to install a modem through the back of the computer. She's like, it doesn't fit. I measured it with a ruler and it will not fit. And I'm like, did you think about getting a screwdriver and opening in the box?
Did you tell her she has to use a metric ruler?
I should have told her that. This poor woman bought a modem somewhere and then called us for free tech support. After she called a pay tech support site, she didn't remember the number and paid $40 for it. So I don't know if she really did or not. But I wouldn't be running around telling people that I paid $40 to install a little $10 modem and I couldn't get it done because it wouldn't fit. Okay.
Is that all your bitching?
That's all my bitching. Okay. A little side note, anti-spyware firm Pest Patrol was bought by Computer Associates for an undisclosed sum of money.
$5.
$5. Pest Patrol is actually really nice. You have to pay for it, but if you don't pay for it, you can still use it.
Or you can just download it.
That's what I did.
Isn't that stealing?
Not if I wasn't going to pay for it anyway.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
They didn't lose any money on it.
That's, you know, denial.
Denial.
That's the
not just a river in Egypt, eh?
Yeah. A federal appeals court has ruled that two...
You're the queen of denial. Sorry.
That's so fucking bad. Okay, just in case everybody missed that, say that joke one more time.
I said you're the queen of denial. I think that's a country song. All right.
I don't think I could. I think we have to quit the show right now. That's like the worst thing I've heard all day. But then again, I haven't left the house all day, so I don't know what's going on.
We haven't listened to the other radio shows either.
True. A federal appeals court has ruled that two peer-to-peer online music sharing networks, Grokster and Streamcast, are not liable for illegal swapping of copyright music and other entertainment files on their networks. One reason cited by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals was that unlike Napster, which has acted as a central repository for the copyright music files, in essence... Stop breathing in the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As a central repository for copyright music files, in essence serving as a roadmap to pirated materials... Grokster and Streamcast networks were merely software firms providing programs that let individual users share information over the internet. That the information was copyrighted material and was irrelevant to the case. I'm glad somebody's winning, so it's like, I don't know, 50 points for them and 2 points for us. at least we're winning a few.
This is true. Does anybody still use Grokster?
I've never used it.
You know, how did you find out about file sharing over the internet? How did you find out about Napster?
Okay, this is a long time ago. I was using IRC chat, and I found there was rooms. This is back when I was a little obfuscated. And, and I chatted with some people, and I was talking about a couple programs I wanted. They're like, oh, yeah, just go to this channel. I'm like, okay, and I found out I can download music, and I can download movies for free. I could download programs. I'm like, oh, it's cool shit. Well, the network kind of loaded. There was a lot of spammers. That started when, you know, people started, everybody and their mother started getting on IRC. And it got kind of loaded. But somebody, I was complaining about there's no more content anymore. And somebody said, well, go on Napster. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And he said, that's when back, I think, when that first came out. And I was like, oh. So.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I was an old Scour.net user from back in the day, which used to be how you downloaded two songs at a time on your broadband connection. But I actually found out about Napster, and I actually found out about Morpheus through listening to the news. And they were like, all these illegal file sharing networks like Napster or Morpheus. And I was like, Napster? Morpheus? Let's check these out. So actually, with all the legal crap that they brought up, they got a lot of advertising for those companies.
Oh, no shit, definitely. I know.
I'm about to try Grokster.
I still use Kazaa Lite.
I'm a LimeWire man myself.
It's getting pretty weak, but I only use it for music anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I get most of my programs either from there or torrents.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, of course, from torrents. And all legal, of course. Not.
What?
Not. What?
Legality is not to be discussed.
Correct. You don't tell us, we won't tell you.
We'll tell you.
We'll tell you. Fuck, we steal them. I sell them afterwards, too. Along with
for $30 a movie.
$30 a movie. And I sell them on the street corner a crack. What happens if you buy 5 crack rocks, you get a movie for free.
What movie?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Score, 1 or 2.
Okay, let me tell you the story. Okay, I work at a pizza joint, right? And we're giving away movies. Each every other month, they come out with 3 new movies. And I was like, fucking kick ass, because, of course, I like movies. So we start giving away the first month that came out. We had Weekend at Bernie's, Part 1. Second movie was Don Juan DeMarco. And the third movie was, fuck, I don't remember. Second month came around. It was Weekend at Bernie's 2. The first two seasons of the first three episodes of the first season of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Score.
Yeah. And some movie called Durango Kids. I'm like, what? It's like they couldn't sell these shit at Walmart?
Weekend at Bernie's is a classic, my friend.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. But Part 2 sucked nuts.
Yeah.
It's like, and then, like, where is the rigor mortis at in this fucker? Anyway, when people call up and we tell them our specials.
Everybody got older.
Yeah. When they tell us our specials, they ask about the movies, and they're like, oh, no thanks. We have to literally just, like, take these movies and give them to customers who weren't expecting them, just to get rid of them.
Well, I want a free movie.
You want a free movie? What do you want?
Rocky and Bullwinkle and Weekend at Bernie's?
We don't have one anymore. You just have to get 2.
That's all right.
You don't want 2?
They got that black guy in that one with the Big Dick contest, right?
Huh?
Was that Weekend at Bernie's? Maybe I'm retarded.
The fuck you talking? You talking about Black Dicks, White Chicks, Part 3.
Yes, pretty much. Okay, moving on from all that. Real Networks talked about it last week, that they've released a thing called Harmony, and it lets you translate songs purchased from the Real Player Music Store into a format that can be played on the iPod. Wouldn't that just be pretty much converting them to MP3? No. It's converting them to that AAC format, which is the iTunes format.
Well, the thing about that is they if they convert to MP3, they have to pay MP3. I just don't see why they don't...
OGG.
OGG. But go ahead.
Oh, and they're selling them for 49 cents a song right now.
What's iPod selling them for?
Well, 99 cents a song.
Oh, that's still too expensive.
Now, they're selling them for 49 cents a pop for the next few weeks. And you're saying, how are they selling them so cheap? It's because they're losing 40 cents on each song. The company plans to tell investors its music fire sale could directly add about a penny a share in losses to its third quarter financial results, which is equivalent to about $1.8 million. I don't know how they just pull that out of their ass, because I don't know how they think they're going to get that many people. But anyway, they're working on it. And they're trying to get users to sign up for their thing. It's called Rapsvity. They're really good at these names. And it's a music service that charges users $9.95 a month to listen to an unlimited amount of music on the on their PCs, but not on their portable players, only on their PCs. Now, this isn't the first attempt at discounting online music. Walmart Stores Incorporated has sold songs through its website for 88 cents each, but it's failed to make a noticeable dent in Apple's business. Real Network's discount on music, though, is substantially deeper than past cuts by mainstream music sites, and the company is charging about a third the price of typical music CDs in retail stores. That's pretty cool. I hate Real. Go get some stuff from them. Don't sign up for Rapsody and put them more in the hole.
I just don't understand how they're charging so much for music. The thing about that is, what's your regular CD? I haven't bought a mainstream CD in like in years. How much does a CD cost when you go to Walmart or go to a CD warehouse or whatever?
$16.99. I don't know. I don't buy CDs.
Yeah, so it's like $16.99, $17, $18.99, whatever, for CDs, right? Now, they're paying for packets. That's still without out. I still think that's way too much for fucking CDs anyway. Most underground bands I buy CDs from are usually anywhere from $8 to $10.
And they don't have the large run like Britney Spears does.
Right. So they have to, so they buy it more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they spend like there's a couple places you can go get your CDs made, and they're called, basically you pay like a dollar a CD. Okay? Now, if you got a run like Sony does, where a couple billion CDs, you're paying like half a cent for a fucking CD. So they're paying hardly nothing for a CD. They're selling it for $18.99. Okay, so they're going to sell it for 99 cents a song. Average song, average CD contains about 12 songs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's $12. Still too fucking much. I'd be happy with 30 cents. And that's 30 cents, that's if you charge 99 cents, that's still for a file that you can't convert.
Yeah.
When I can just buy the CD and convert it myself and pay the same, around the same price.
Or download it for fucking free.
Exactly.
And convert it all you want.
I think 20 cents is a good price. So it'll cut their fucking, Britney Spears can't buy her $1,000 mascara. Fuck her. Use it as a fucking dildo.
See, I don't really see a problem with paying 10 bucks a month for unlimited downloads and being able to play them on CD or MP3s or anything like that.
Right? That sounds about
like,
right.
I think that's fair. That's me paying good money to these people. And then they'd have a steady revenue because they know that this number of people are going to be paying them $10 a month.
Kind of like Netflix does.
Yeah.
You pay like you pay $15 a month or whatever and you get all the songs you want. Or
this is true.
Or up to 100 or some shit. Or, make it worth their while. Okay.
Excellent.
Okay.
Now, still talking about digital media. There's a little article in the Wall Street Journal. And if I haven't pimped it before, buy the goddamn Wall Street Journal. Buy it. Go buy it. Go to the store. Pick it up. Buy it. Get a subscription. Buy it. Oh, did I say Wall Street Journal? My bad. buying music used to be simple. You cost up $14 or so for a CD. And as long as you didn't bootleg it or charge crowds of people to listen to it, it was yours. The internet and other technologies have changed all that, opening up a new slew of options, for purchasing entertainment, be it music, movies, or games. That's the good thing. The not-so-good thing, in the next few years, the sheer number and complexity of these new options are likely to bewilder many consumers, and you may no longer be able to own a movie or own a CD, at least in the sense those phrases have been used. Instead, you'll merely have the rights to the content, forced by technology. Those rights might change over time, even at the whim of the music or movie company you get them from. The technology is called DRM. We all know this. It's invisible software lock that's securely bolted onto a song or movie that you just walk around instead of trying to go straight through. And with it being software, it's very flexible. You might be able to download a song for free, listen to it for a day, and then you have to pay to keep on listening. And for a taste of what DRM might bring, check out Apple Computer's iTunes Music Store, which sells them for 99 cents. Apple iTunes, of course, come with DRM that permits you playing the songs on more than 5 computers or burning more than 7 identical lists of songs on the CDs. That's very not restrictive for DRM, but DRM is still a very, very bad idea. What if you have more than one computer? I have more than one computer. I have more than one thing that'll play the music. And I listen to it in different ways, and DRM just gets in my goddamn way. Sorry about me saying way. Anyway, DRM is really bad. They're trying to tell people about it. People are learning about it slowly. And you're just yawning, and I'm just droning on and on, so I'm going to shut up.
You skipped me, that's why.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, you can do two. Go ahead. It's your turn.
No, finish what you're saying, man.
That's all I got, buddy. I skipped you. Go ahead. I'm in IRC right now on the BenRev channel, and I'm talking to this guy named Grendel, I'm assuming, and he just told me he just listened to the first 7 of our episodes. He just finished about 5 minutes ago, and he said he was going to drop us a line saying that he listens too. And he says, Mitnick is nothing. My name's about to be on Infonomicon. So anyway, Grendel, your name is now on Infonomicon.
And you are the shit.
And obfuscated, it's your turn.
Yeah, Grendel's the shit, man. He's good. He's
Grendel's
good.
The shit.
He's good at people. He's good at people. Does he have to pay me $5 now since I gave him a shout?
Oh, we forgot to charge him $5. All right, Grendel, you got shouts for free, buddy.
Yeah, limited time offer. Okay, man, Microsoft is offering the latest iteration of its 64-bit computer platform, announcing the release of beta software for PCs and servers. The release marks its next step in the software's giant's efforts to address the needs of high-end consumers. Test versions of XP Professional 64 Edition and Windows Server 2003 Enterprise are now available for Microsoft, which has targeted technical workstation users who require large amounts of memory and floating point performance in such areas as mechanical design and analysis, digital content creation, and other high-performance computing applications. The software runs on machines powered by AMDs. That's why I'm actually reading this article. This is pretty interesting. Yeah, they're using AMD. The software...
Go AMD.
Yeah. The software runs on machines powered by AMD's Athlon 64 Operon processors and Intel Xeon chips. Requirements include 256 megs of RAM, 1.5 gig available hard drive space, and a Super VGA at 800x600 or higher resolution video card, and CD-ROM or DVD drive. Among other features of the new systems are the Luna user interface. I fucking hate that interface. Windows Messenger, Windows Media Player support for Bluetooth, short-range wireless connectivity, and the .NET platform. Microsoft recently announced that it had postponed the official launch of Windows Server 2003 for 64-bit extended systems and Windows XP 64-bit editions for extended systems, originally expected this year until the first half of 2005. I'm kind of cool to actually test these out on AMD. That's the only reason why I was reading that. Usually Microsoft is like, AMD who? Huh?
Well, Microsoft's kind of switching over to AMD.
You think so?
I heard that the next generation the next generation Xbox is going to have an AMD processor in it.
Right. See, the thing about it is, it's kind of like the thing between Microsoft and Linux. I don't see that same big difference between AMD and Intel. You know what I mean? I don't have that much animosity for Intel as I do for Microsoft because they make good products.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So is AMD. You know. I choose AMD because it's cost efficient.
Oh yes,
that's why I choose AMD. But Intel's a good company, always has been, very innovative company actually. And that's really all I have to say. They really
AMD
boy.
Okay, well I'm kind of scraping at the bottom of the barrel, but I have an article from
you always scraping at the bottom of the barrel.
Iraq.
Aren't you always scraping the bottom of the barrel?
Baby, that's what I do.
You're catfish.
All right, there's a band. I'm not even going to try to say this name. Okay, I am. Acrasidida.
So write it over to me.
Write it over to you.
Right.
Like in the chat. Okay, y'all. Here we go. I'm going to spell it. A-C-R-A-S-S. It's got ass in it. I-C-A-U-D-A. Yeah, spell that, or pronounce that, bastard. Anyway.
Acrasicata?
Acrasicata.
Acrasicuda? Acrasicuda-cuda. Acrasicuda-cuda.
They're in Baghdad, Iraq. They're a band. They're from Iraq. And they're playing For Whom the Bells Tolls, which is either a Metallica song or a Ernest Hemingway book.
It's a Metallica song.
And a book.
And a book.
And people are having a good time. People are going crazy. They're having a mosh pit. And a club official comes on the stage, orders the crowd to sit down. The band ignores him, keeps playing. 50 of the roughly 200 fans keep standing. The official ends the concert and angrily escorts the band off the stage. The band singer, Fazil Tahil, and he's also the rhythm guitarist, shouted a string of profanities, drawing cheers from the crowd. Now, this is a classic moment, Rock and Roll Rebellion. One, they're
which
playing
is new.
Metallica song.
Which is
without,
new to them.
Yeah, it's new to them. They're playing a Metallica song, so they're fucking over Metallica. That's good. And they're going crazy, and they're fighting, you know, people being in charge over them that are just authoritative.
Which didn't happen before.
It's very good. I went on to read this article, and there was a paragraph in here that I just thought was hilarious. The members of this band honed their English by singing along to black market Megadeth and Metallica CDs, and they developed their stage moves by copying what they saw on pirated videotapes of American rock concerts. I thought that was hilarious. Like, these people started and are pretty much copying Metallica. They're playing Metallica songs. They used to listen to bootleg Metallica CDs. You know,
well,
they're getting the noise out there. They're doing this for their, you know, the youth of their country, people trying to get their anger out. And I bet Lars Ulrich is just boiling in his boots.
Oh, because he can't charge him for it?
Because he can't charge him for it.
No, what I find, what's interesting about this is that...
I kind of hope he tries.
Is that a lot of people in foreign countries that live in kind of like oppressed nations that, you know, don't have a good education system, learn English through media, such as movies and...
Bootleg movies, bootleg music.
Right. Like, for instance, my grandparents learned English from movies and from the radio, AM radio. So that's how a lot of immigrants learn their English also.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
We should make a series of immigrant films where we pronounce things wrong just to screw them all over.
It sounds like a Monty Python sketch, actually. they did that in the movie.
They could all say a boot instead of a bow.
We'll make them Canadian.
Fucking Canucks. Actually, I'm just picking. I like people from Canada, as long as you're from the good side of Canada.
And you're not Mormon or a Scientologist.
And you're not Mormon.
Fucking Mormons. I crushed thee with a large hammer.
I saw some Mormons today in Circuit City.
I tried to run over some today. I was going out to get cigarettes, and they're rampant around here. These two little guys on a bike, you know, I tried to, like, honk them, and they looked at me, and they just kind of waved. I'm like, I just, you know, told them to flip them off.
I feel so bad for those kids. Like, they're not paid by their church to do this. Like, their families pay for them to do that.
Like, yeah, and
they had to save money and work some fucking shitty summer job so that they could go on this mission.
You know, some of them get to ride in cars. You know, that's like a level thing. Like, once you move up from the bike messenger service, you get to get in a car. The Mormon church gives you a car. It's kind of like,
okay.
It's kind of like moving up from fries to hamburgers at McDonald's.
Woo. So what happens when they get to the Chicken McNugget stage?
They shoot you in the back of the head.
Oh, okay. Do you get your own planet?
Yes.
Okay, man. I'm out of articles, buddy. It's going to have to be you again.
Okay, what time are we got here? We're around 73
I could just
minutes.
Search Slashdot like what you did and get some more.
go fuck yourself.
Oddly enough, okay. All the things he talks about on Slashdot.today.
Okay, man. I'm going to read one more article, then I'm going to go to my thing about the radio station, blobby, blobby, blobby.
Excellent, buddy.
Okay, man. Skype is working out pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
No cutouts.
It's pretty definitely a lot better than having to hold my cell phone up there.
No, I bet it isn't. Okay. IBM, in its third motion for summary judgment against SCO, is seeking a permanent injunction against SCO's distribution of Linux on the grounds that Linux has renounced and violated the GPL and therefore has no right to distribute the 700,000 lines of IBM copyrighted code therein. As usual... Okay. I guess I just pulled that article out of my ass. I'm just telling you that just so you know that IBM is winning the good fight.
Yay, IBM.
Okay, man.
IBM! IBM, boy! Woohoo!
Okay,
oh,
man.
Oh, goodness.
Anything else about that? About the GPL or...
I don't know. Everybody has a lot of varied opinions on the GPL. And I really need to sit down and do some more research on it. I don't think I fully understand. I understand the basics, but I'd like to really do some more research on the GPL.
What are the basics? Explain to our audience about the basics.
Okay. The basics of the GPL. I can make a program for my little Java class, and it can do whatever the fuck it wants, and I can release it under the GPL. And anybody that wants to take that source code and modify it can do that. And that, it's a license that allows people to do that. And as soon as you take it and you add to it and you send it to me, now we've both gained because you got what I had and then I got what you added to it.
Also, don't you have to
bring software up?
But don't you have to change the name once it's the source code is changed?
See, that's why I need to read about it.
Right. I know there's two different ways to form the GPL. I guess there's, you can make your own licenses based on the GPL, which I know a lot of people have. I know Ben Rev has a offshoot of GPL. It's kind of similar. All you got to do is really give him credit.
Mm-hmm.
Type of deal. That's totally cool. We don't give a fuck what you do at our show. Not really.
Yeah, we do.
We do?
You must give it to all your friends.
And send us a dollar every time you do it.
Or just help Obfuscate to get another computer and a switch.
No, what the problem is that... Okay, let's get serious for a moment. What the problem is that you're giving these out to your friends, and it costs us a lot of money to record this show. It's costing us like $100, $200 a show to record this.
Oh yeah,
We're not.
Easy.
We do this for you, the listeners, not for us. I could be jerking off right now, but I'm not. I care. So what you do is you send 8x10s of your mom, grandmother, and any other relative that's female, with their
older.
With home phone number, addresses, so we can call them on a show and have phone sex. And send them to droops@gmail.com.
Excellent. And if you just find some random pictures of old women having sex, send them to lab5ae@gmail.com, because Obfuscated really likes that shit.
Yeah, Jandy, Tandy's the shit, right? Jessica Tandy?
Yeah.
She's fucking hot.
Jessica Tandy's so hot. Oh.
Okay, man.
Everybody's going to Google.
Who is Jessica Tandy? Man, we have a young audience, I think.
I didn't know who it was.
Would you ever have sex with a fetus?
Living or dead?
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, buddy.
Can't answer that,
I'll
can
take
you?
Pictures of you doing it.
That's my next project. It's open source. Okay, on to what I was going to talk about on last week's show is how to record your own show. Now, this is not going to be a step-by-step guide, but this is just in general, just to show you how I do it. And there's like 1,000 different ways you can do it. This is just how I've been doing it. First off, I don't have a landline, so I've been using my cell phone so Droops can call me up and so we can record a show like that. Also, I've spent some money getting everything together for the show, but most of the stuff was readily available to me already since I record a lot of audio at my house. So, first off, I had to find a way to get my cell phone, how to record conversations on my cell phone to my computer. So what I did was, I went out to Radio Shack, and I bought a, what's this thing called? It's made by Radio Shack, and it's a, their name for it is a wireless phone recording controller. The catalog number, the CAT number, is, just in case you want to buy one, is 17-855, just in case you want to look that up. And what it really is that you have to have a headset. You have to have a headset to use it. So what happens is you plug your headset into the controller, and then you plug it has another extension with a 1/4 jack that plugs into the headset jack on this cell phone itself. Then there's another into it that plugs into, now this output where the sound comes out, the output wire is 1/4 inch, which is a regular size headset jack. Now you can plug this into the back of your input of your computer and just record it like that, or you can do what I do. What I do is I put it into a mixer. Now, the mixer I'm using is a Eurorack MX 602A. This thing's been discontinued, I believe. I bought it like about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, for like, I think $60 at Guitar Center. But you don't need to spend that much on a mixer if you're looking. The reason I use a mixer is because I can get a higher volume with lower noise. That's why I do it. Now you can go to, if you want to go the mixer route, you can go to Radio Shack and get a decent one for like $20. Okay, and it does the job it's supposed to do. Okay, once that's in, you have to make a choice. Woo! You have to make a choice of what software you're going to use to record the show. I know a lot of people use Audacity, but I prefer to use Cool Edit, which now has become Audition. Adobe bought out Citrillium, so it's Audition now, which I think it's in its stage one. I think it's version one. I believe it is. And that's what I use because I find it a little bit more comfortable. Audacity reminds me too much of Cakewalk back in the day, so I never really liked Cakewalk. So once you start recording, you just make sure. I'm not sure if Audacity has a level meter at the bottom of it, but Audition does, so I'm going to go with that. Audition has a level meter, so it tells you when you're recording how loud everything is. Now, when you record itself, it doesn't really matter how loud it is, just as long as it's, because you can make it louder later on after you record. Right now, I'm usually recording at a negative 30 or a negative 27, somewhere around there. Not very loud, but loud enough to get it so when later on I can boost it up a little bit. Also, you want to make sure that you have relatively low noise when you start recording. It makes it simpler later on to deal with. Now, noise can come from anywhere. You have an air conditioner on in the background. Your sound card could just be noisy. The more expensive the sound card is, the less noise you're going to get. I haven't had a problem with mine. I'm using a Sound Blaster Live. So, standard issue sound card. Decent. costs like $50, decent sound card. You don't need to go out and buy a new sound card. Just use the one you have. I'm just telling you what I use. Now, when you start recording, I would record like about 2 minutes of silence to see how much the noise is. Now, let me be silent for a second just to see how low my noise is. Okay, right now the noise is negative 66 when it's silent. That's good. That's pretty decent. Now, you have to start worrying when you get up in the 50s. When it's up in the 50s, then you probably have a problem. Then you're going to start hearing, that kind of noise, which you can get rid of later, but it's best to start off recording the best quality. Okay, after you finish recording your show, make sure everybody's heard on the show and everything. What I usually do next is get rid of noise, just because there's always going to be some. Depends on the other person's line. Now, I'm using Audition, so this is going to be different than what you do in Audacity, which I've never used Audacity, not yet, but I'll see how that works. I'm going to use that later on to test some stuff on that. But Audition has a feature which lets you get rid of some of the noise. It's if you're using Audition, it's effects, noise reduction, and noise reduction again. That's all up in the top corner, the top menu. And if you're going to go that route, if you're using Audition, you can go ahead. This is what I do first. Like I said before, record a couple minutes at the beginning of the show, total silence. With everybody on the line that you're recording, with total silence, with no one talking. And then you highlight that part. Go into the noise reduction, and it says get profile. That's the profile you want to get. Save that. Then you get out of it. Then you highlight the whole wave. The whole conversation, the whole show, and then it's gonna ask you to pick your profile. You pick that, the one you saved before, and then it will lower the noise based on the silence that you recorded before. Play with that a little bit. It's kind of like an art. You don't want to get rid of too much noise because it gets rid of some of the voice. Then you don't want to leave too much in. Then you'll get the hissing noise. So that's kind of art. Now, add the music at the end and add the music at the beginning or whatever you're doing. And make sure your waveform, which is the actual wave you're looking at, the wave, is the same height. Make sure it's all the same level. Because you don't want, your music to be really loud and your voice to be really low. It's annoying and it just scares the shit out of people when you're talking like this and all of a sudden, gets out of hand. Okay. Now, I also do an extra step. Now, this step is, I also compress it. Now, I'm not talking about compressing, meaning going back to, compressing to MP3. It's another way of compressing. It's called audio compression. And what it is it takes all the sounds in a wave and makes sure it's the same, same volume and same intensity. If that makes any sense. It just makes sure that it's just a part of recording music, and I incorporate it into doing the show because it makes the vocal sound better. But if you want to try this, I use a plugin for Adobe Audition called Waves Gold Bundle. That's WAVES Gold Bundle. And in this bundle, they have a plugin called, let me see if I can find it here. It's called RCL. You'll find it if you ever got the Waves Gold Bundle. And like I said, it's one of the better audio compression plugins I've seen for Cool Edit or Audition for any of you audiophiles out there that record music or anything. That's a little tip from me to you. I do that so it can get, like I said before, it gets all the volumes at the same level. Also, the same intensity, meaning the strength of the voice. It helps that out also. So everybody's on the same playing field and you don't have one person lower than the other. Like I said, I do that as an addition thing. You don't have to do that to record. Now, once you're done, you want to save it to, of course, a MP3 or AUG. Don't want to keep it as WAV because this show is probably going to be about 593 megs. And that's too big. So what you're going to want to do is compress it. AUG, MP3, whatever. We've been playing around with megahertz, you know, for the show. Usually 22 by 22 is usually how we go. Also, before you send it out and everything, and you're in your audio editor, make sure that the voices don't clip, meaning they go over 0 dB. Anything over 0 dB is just going to be distorted. It's going to sound like shit. So I try to keep it around 9, negative 9, or negative 6. That's how I try to keep it at. Because anything over negative 3 into 0, it gets way too distorted. So I like to keep it at a pretty comfortable level of negative 9 and negative 6. And really, all you really need is keep some stuff on hand, like audio adapters, meaning like, you know, change from 1/4 of an inch jack to 1/2 of an inch. You know, keep some adapters around. RCA cables is good to have, you know, those RCA things. Keep those around. And if you find another way to do it, that's great. You know, everybody has their different ways of doing it, of course, and no way's better than the other. You know, just how it fits you. I'm just putting this out there so you can, you know, get a little bit more knowledge when you move along. So, you know, of course, if you have any questions or emails about anything I just said or any tips or anything, just email me at lab5ae@gmail.com. And, of course, like we talked about earlier, our address is about to change, and we'll talk about that on the next show. I also want to talk about mics. Okay, since I just got finished talking about doing it through your cell phones, you have no problem with microphones. Your cell phone is, of course, your microphone. But since tonight we're recording on Skype, you're going to need a microphone. I know some people might prefer to use a headset. I don't, because headsets have that microphone going straight to your mouth, and it's hard to breathe not into it, especially if you're a mouth breather. So it makes a bitch trying to get rid of the noise. So I'd prefer an actual microphone. Now, of course, I have a mic stand, so it's a little bit easier for me, but I know everybody doesn't have one. So you can also just have it in your hand, move freely around. Also, don't forget to have a pair of headphones, because you don't want the speakers, you know, playing while the other person's talking and you're recording to a mic, because that causes a delay. Confuses everybody and it fucks up a show. So basically, I'm just sitting in a chair, rolling around, have a pair of headphones on, and a mic in front of me. But I can easily do that without the mic stand. Mic stand's no excuse. Just have the microphone in hand. Now, microphones can be expensive. I have two. One costs me about $250 to $300. The one I'm talking on right now costs $10 at Radio Shack, of course. Don't forget, Radio Shack has good shit. I prefer not to get it at Walmart, because Radio Shack makes higher quality, cheaper stuff. So that's how I'm doing it. I'm not going to get into too much about how I'm recording Skype right now, because it's so complicated right now. What's going on, I'm going to give you just a basic rundown how I'm doing this. We're running Skype on one computer, okay? I'm talking to Droops on one computer. Now, having this conversation. But I'm having the conversation, and from the output of this one computer, we're having a conversation with Skype. It's going into another computer, another computer's input, which is actually recording the show. So if two computers, one of us talking and another computer of us actually recording the show, I tried it just using one computer and having doing this conversation. It didn't work. So I figured this out. And it's working fine. I just have two mixers going, and it's a pain in the ass. You can, of course, you don't. You have to use a mixer. I do it, of course, for noise reasons. But I'm gonna talk about. I'll probably talk about that more on the next show, since I'm just trying to figure out. It's my room is a clusterfuck right now of wires. So I'm going to try to get a little bit more simpler before I even think about talking about it. And that's really all there is. So on to the next. Any other things you'd like to add? Or
sounds good to me, buddy.
Anything else, any things you'd like to add?
I don't know anything else about it.
Okay. We're going to give
all
our...
Right.
Okay, anything else you want to add to the show? Or?
I think I'm done with all this, huh? You know anything else to say?
Anything else to say? Yes, we're going to go ahead and go with the Shirley Q.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about old Shirley.
Okay, take it, Shirley.
How you doing? This is Mrs. Shirley Q. Liquor. You know what's embarrassing is to see one of your friends get busted on cops. And I saw that happen the other day to Lakeisha. Y'all saw that? Girl, I was sitting there on Saturday night just sipping that liquor and smoking me a cigarette, looking at cops, you know, just all comfortable. I had my pink fuzzy house shoes on and all the curlers in my head. I was just chilling down. And I didn't go Lakeisha on there. I said, look. I said, come in here and let y'all look at this here. Did you see what she had did? She is so ignorant. She was trying to hijack a railroad train by standing out there with her thumb every time a train would go by, except nobody would stop for her. Now, how's she going to carjack that? And then when the police grabbed her, she going to try to run off. She thought she was slick because she'd been having all them, she had that weave did and all that oil on it, and the cop catch her by the hair. And, honey, she slipped out of his hand, and finally three or four big old women, bulldogger police women, come on in and just tackle her down, throwing her on that gravel. I was hollering. I said, go, Lakeisha, go. Oh, she was mad. I talked to her Thursday. She said she spent 3 days downtown behind there getting it straightened out. She said it's hard when they got videotape. You know, she said she could usually lie her way out. But she said this time, girl, she said that everything was on there. She showed her ass. It was all on there. Oh, but it's good to know a celebrity. Speaking of your mama, tell her, ask how she doing. What? We hadn't seen her in a while. Bye, hey.
Okay, we're back. Thanks, Shirley.
Thank you, Shirley. It sure gets crowded at my house having Shirley living around here.
And 19 churins?
Yeah, all them churins take a lot of room.
Okay, man. And also, we're going to give shouts. And I'll let you go first on that, man.
Okay. Shouts, I got a whole list of people. From the people at Skype.com to Voodoo Hal to my friend Head to my friend Hardy Boy to our good friend Pixel Fiend to Mr. Jason Scott to Bankrupt and to Grendel and to you, buddy.
Okay, man. I appreciate that. And like I like to ditto all that, like just echo that because those are...
And Kizzle.
Thank you, Kizzle. Thank you, Kizzle.
I was actually talking to Kizzle on It's the Messenger Ride as we were going through this.
Really?
Yes, and he's talking about having a new site. He's going to redo the way his site's done,
mm-hmm.
the way he originally planned it. And right. I know I'm just dropping the cat out of the bag right now, but that's what he gets for telling somebody with a big-ass mouth.
Okay, also pimp out his site.
Oh, and Kizzle's site's hackermedia.net. You can find our show there at hackermedia.net/Infonomicon or at our brand new website, which doesn't really work right now, infonomicon.org.
And keep on checking on that. That's I-N-F-O-N-O-M-I-C-O-N, just like it's pronounced, Infonomicon.
What does Infonomicon mean, my friend?
It really doesn't mean shit, to be honest with you. It doesn't mean shit. If you were to take the name and like dissect it, it would mean the book of information, informational names. It doesn't mean anything. You just named it.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent.
Okay, we want to go with this, the things of the week. The sites of the week is going to be, can't pimp this out enough. We appreciate his Voodoo Hal's help on this. And that's, what's the name of his site?
MojoNetworks.net.
Also, I want to pimp out another site called Doom9.org. That's DOOM9.org. They basically it's all about tutorials and about how to back up your DVDs, which I found really informative within the last week. I want to thank those guys a lot. Also, I want to get the quote of the week, which was.
I'm looking for it. I forgot what it was. I didn't write it down. Damn it, ass. I need to remember how to do this.
Yes.
Or to remember to do it. What was the quote of the week? I tell you, we're going to change the quote of the week. I was talking to my good friend, Pixel Fiend, and I asked him to be on the show. When we get this recording over Skype done well, we can have more than two people on. And he said that he would love to be on the show. He said he was actually asked to be on Ben Rev, but he didn't feel that he was smart enough to be on their show. So there you go, buddy. Have fun changing diapers, because that's what that man does all the time.
Oh, man, we are at the lower the bottom of the barrel, aren't we? But we're here every week, though. That's one thing we have been good about. Every week we've been here.
We have been good. Even when I'm on vacation, Obfuscated covers for me.
Yeah, we've been taking care of the shit, man. The cunt of the week? Man, we called him up, okay? Me and my sister called this guy because we're going to fuck with him. But he's not home. He gave me the wrong, I got the wrong number. So we couldn't do that. His name is Sean. He lives on Chip and Hand Drive in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This dude is really a fucking cunt of the week. The term of the week was, go ahead.
Rick, shuffle some papers a little bit more. And what was the term of the week? You got to know that I'm not going to remember this stuff after I say it. What was the term of the week?
Bungholeitis.
Bungholeitis, that's what it was.
Infection of the bunghole. Okay, man. And
what happens when you get infection of the bunghole, my friend?
You become an asshole? I think that's it.
Okay, man.
That's about the end of the show. This is Obfuscated.
And this is Droops.
Okay, also.
And we're unprepared.
We also like to. The closing music is going to be. This is dedicated to all the people that keep saying shit about our show. And the band's called The Germs, and the song's called Fuck You. And that's what I like to say to everybody. Fuck you in the ass.
Even the people that like us, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you if you like us. Fuck you. You don't send us email. You don't call us up, ask how we're doing.
You don't send us presents. You don't say, how was your day?
Yeah, so just fuck you. And that's the song's going to be okay, man. This is Obfuscated.
And this Droops.
And we're Mickey Finn.
Later, y'all.